Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Our verse comes from 1 Thessalonians 5, 9 to 22, and it reads, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil."
Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord God, we commit to you our time as a family, and we pray, Father, that as we open your word this morning, may you speak to us individually, right where we are at, Lord God. You know every intricate, intimate detail about us, Lord God. And so we thank you, Father, this morning, as we attune our ears and our hearts towards you. May you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing our series of One Anothering, where we have been looking at this biblical concept of building relationships, right? And so who enjoyed the panel last week? Who enjoyed the panel last week? Really good, right? Yes, well done. Thank you to Natalia, Marius, and Lossa for being open about that and sharing that little aspect of their lives. And so this is based on God's plan that he created us to be in a relationship with him firstly, and then with those around us, right? And so in that relationship, we get to serve and love one another, okay? And so there are several examples throughout the Bible of this thing, one anothering, right? I know it's bad English, but, you know, one anothering. It's like, you know, some of the examples is like bearing with one another. Encouraging one another, building one another, and loving one another. Okay, so today we're going to be looking at dating, courting, and marriage. Oh, yes. So everyone's ears are tuned in now, right? Marriage, you just focus on your marriage lane, right? Okay, so the title of my message today is the ABCDs of relationships. Okay, ABCDs of relationships. Okay, so my first date with my wife, Helen, obviously she wasn't my wife at the time, but was back in the year of 1997. You younger one are like looking at me, wow, is that a year? Yes, it is a real year, okay? 1997, it was in Wellington, and at that time, Helen was working in the city, Wellington City. And so we were doing lunch in the city. And so the place that I chose was this amazing restaurant. They had the best service, the best meals, the best deals. There was a history in this place because it was converted from a church to Burger King, right? This was our first date. And you know what? I even went a step further because I had my sister and my cousin come along on our first call. See, thinking this through, you know. Word of advice, yeah. But that was our first date. That was me and my wife's first date at Burger King. Rich guy. Not really, I didn't have a job. She had a job, okay. But you know what, even, you know, dating back then was a bit different to how dating is these days, right? When you think of, you know, these days they have apps, right? You have websites. And back then, you had to meet people in person, right? You had to, you know, physically be there, you know, not just look at a profile pic, oh my gosh, that's his best side, you know. No, you had to go and see the person in person, right? And you had to talk to them on a phone that had a wire that was connected to the wall, right? Yes, these things existed before. You know, you think you carry a phone down, it was always been like that? No. Phones used to be connected to the wall with a wire. And so let me give you some stats, okay? So these are some Australian dating stats, okay? So 3.2 million people were using dating apps in Australia in 2021. 3.2 million. The population of Australia is around 26 million. So that's around, I think, around 12, 13% of the population are using dating apps. Most dating app users in Australia are between the age of 25 and 34. Over a quarter of online dates or daters are interested in long-term relationships. And dating apps in Australia are the most common way to meet a new partner. It's like, oh, interesting, eh? Don't get any ideas, all right? Just focus on Jesus. Okay, so I think that dating can be approached in like one or two ways, right? And these can be like the extreme ends of this spectrum. And so one being that you date everybody and everybody, you know, you date everybody because you're trying to find that one, you know, and so you taste all the flavors in the shop. But it's probably not the best way to go about it, right? Okay, don't taste all the flavors, okay? There are all this disgusting flavors in there, some of them, right? But, and the other part though, the other side of the spectrum is that you're waiting for that one. There is one person that you are waiting for. And so, you know, in the sense of waiting for them, you sort of have this expectation. As soon as you say yes to them, then, yes, we're getting married. But you haven't talked about it. You haven't spoken about, okay, are we becoming this couple so that marriage is the end goal? You know, you may not have had those conversations with them at that time. Because sometimes I think we can get caught up in the attraction instead of spending time in admiration. Okay? Listen to this. Yo, he is dripping. Or like, is that cool? Is that right, young people? Was that wrong? But like, he's cool, you know? Or like, she's hot, right? You know, us older generators, you know, we're like, oh, okay, you know? So like, or you're like, oh, I like her eyes, right? You know, it's that sort of, that's attraction talking, right? That's the attraction talking. Or like, you know, oh man, he's got abs. Who cares? Who cares about abs? They're overrated, okay? It's coming from a guy who doesn't have any, okay? So the admiration side, is that we're looking at the qualities of that person. We're wanting to know, who are they really? What are they really like? What's their character like? What goals, what dreams, what hopes, what aspirations do they have? What do they want to do with their life? You know, and that's drawing towards like, even like, you know, are they following Christ? You know, for us, if we are a disciple, if we call ourselves a follower of Jesus, then our standard should be like, okay, is he or is she following Jesus as well, right? That could be an important thing to consider. You know, for us as a church, we want to build Christ-centered relationships that will focus on who the person is and not what they look like, right? Does that make sense? Now imagine this, a community where relationships are built on a strong foundation of faith and a genuine love for one another. Okay? In John 13:34-35, it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." These are Jesus' words to his disciples. He's saying, above everything else, love. Love the people around you. And when we're talking about love, it's this Christ-centered love. You know, they aren't just about the romance. It's not just about the romance. It's not just about, you know, the sex, but They are about creating a supportive, healthy, relational environment within the church. Okay, and I need to clarify this as well. Church is not just in this place. You're like, oh yeah, we build this relationship right here in this building. Nah, when I'm talking about church, I'm talking about us. I'm talking about Steph. I'm talking about Maddie. I'm talking about Talia. You are the church. We are the church. And so when we represent Christ out there in our families, in our workplaces, you're representing the church. You're representing Christ. You're showing people what it looks like to walk with Christ. Does that make sense? Is that okay? And so picture this. A church where people truly care for one another. Where they see each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. It's about creating an environment where relationships will just naturally grow and flourish out of this deep, respectful, honorable bond with one another. This is the kind of culture that we want to nurture and build in our church. Where people can feel that they can be real, that they feel part of something bigger. So that there can be the sense of connection, that they feel like, oh man, I connect with this person. You know, I can be honest with this person. I can share the challenges, the struggles that they may be walking through. And that only comes to a place where we have these deep, honorable, safe relationships. In 1 Timothy 5, verses 1 to 12, it says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encouraging him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters, in all purity." So how do we make this happen? How do we participate in what God has called us to? How do we encourage one another in this area? Well, it starts with emphasizing the core values of Jesus' teachings. Love, respect, and unity, right? Just to name a couple, right? Jesus taught these things. And when we see each other through this lens of Christ's teachings, of loving one another, of respecting one another, of fighting for unity, fighting for fellowship, then that can change the dynamic of every relationship. It's like building a foundation on a solid rock. In Matthew 7, verses 24 to 25, it says this, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock." Everyone say, on the rock. Jesus is the original rock. Okay, sorry, Dwayne Johnson, but Jesus is the original rock. Okay? And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. It had been founded on Jesus. You know, when we build our lives and our relationships on the original rock, on Jesus, He is our firm foundation. He's our safe refuge, our tower of joy, our tower of hope, right? It is in Him alone that we can put our trust in. In this healthy culture, we celebrate when relationships are formed, right? We don't look at it, oh, what are you trying to get into a relationship for, you know? No, we celebrate this. But we speak life into it. We speak boundary. We speak safety. We create this environment that we can talk through these things, right? Because if we look down on this, you know, when relationships are formed, then people will look at it and say, "Oh, church man, they are anti relationships." And where will people go and find this? Where will they go and find advice? Where will they go find guidance? Social media. Their friends who don't have any relationships, right? So we as a church need to think this through. How can we navigate through relationships? Whether it's dating, whether it's engagement, whether it's marriage, you know, how do we create environments that are safe for people to come and talk through these things and see through the lens of God, through the lens of Christ, how do we walk through this? What will it look like then? So how can we encourage conversations about creating a healthy environment for relationships to be developed? Where all people, whether single, married, young or old, can learn from those who've walked before them. Right? How can we as a church help our people in a way that has been seen? That it's about passing down wisdom. It's not about rules. It's about passing down wisdom. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes, I know before, when people used to tell me stuff, I would be like, you're giving me rules to follow. But it's like, no, if you know this person, if you know the heart of this person, you know that they'll be trying to give you direction, guidance, you know, how to walk this out. Because sometimes we can get blinded by what's in front of us, right? The person in front of us. That we get blurred to all the red flags that are happening all around us. It's just, oh, is this me and you, baby? Or me and you, honey? There's a whole world around you, bro. Right? And that can be the danger sometimes. And so that's why it's good to have people around us, surrounding ourselves with people that are able to see those things. Is that okay? Wisdom from those who've walked before us, giving guidance, you know, even barriers, some barriers to help navigate this new and exciting journey with the person. And you know what's great is this approach doesn't just impact romantic relationships. Nah, this is about all aspects of relationship, all aspects of friendship. This is what it applies to. And so every interaction becomes richer. Every interaction becomes deeper and more meaningful because we're all united in our faith and commitment to Christ. Christ is that rock. Christ is that foundation, which we're all working from, right? We're all on the same page to build these Christ-centered relationships. In Ephesians 4, verse 3, it says this, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Making every effort. Can we do this as a church? Can we make every effort to do this? You know, I'll share something about, you know, yeah, I'm sure everyone knows, right? We're doing this six-week challenge, and Ray is like, she's Sergeant Meanie, you know? But like, no, her, something she stated right from the beginning is that she wants to provide accountability, you know? And through this whole period, she has done that. Every day on the thread, she's like encouraging, hey team, this is what I've done. How are you going? You know, how are you changing your mind? How are you building strength? How is your nutrition going? You know, do you have someone like that in your life? That you know, it gets to the point of like, oh, stop talking to me, you know? But it's like, it's good for you. You need to hear this. You need people like that in our lives. Right? And so, how are we doing this? Who have we got in our corner that is, you know, helping us, encouraging us in that aspect? I like this quote from Marshall Siegel. He says this, before we begin dating, okay? Everyone say, before we begin dating, we have to develop a vision for what makes marriage worth having. Why do we even want to be married in the first place? Marriage is worth having because you get God in your lifelong commitment to one another. Marriage is about knowing God, worshiping God, depending on God, displaying God, and being made like God. What makes marriage worth having is that you, your spouse, and those around you see more of God and His love in Jesus. That sounds pretty cool, eh? Before taking this step, you know, whether it's towards dating, whether it's towards engagement or courtship, towards marriage, what is your vision? What is your vision for marriage? I shared this last week and I thought it was really good in terms of like, you know, relationships can be described like this, that it's two windows looking into the one kingdom. Right? So whether we're single or whether we're married or whatever stage that we're in life, It's two windows looking into the same kingdom, the same one kingdom. And so when we have this understanding of, okay, this is God's design. This is what God wants from us in our lives. How to walk this out, then that should, you know, encourage us, encourage others. Come on, let's go. Let's keep walking this. You know, you're struggling with, okay, let's get around them and help them. What is it? What? Talk this through. That's how relationships are strengthened and help to help each other. Is that right? Having a great honor and respect for one another that extends further than just being done in front of people. But it goes deeper. It comes out of a desire to see people flourish and thrive in their current season. So today I want to give us a bit of a framework to help us be better at this complicated thing of relationships. Because it is complicated, relationships. It is. And so to think that, nah, I know the answers, you just shouldn't be with him. Okay? Who made you God? Right? You know, I want us to help us, okay? This is guides. This is something to help us think this thing through. Okay? So for the context of our message today, I want to clarify and define a couple of things before we jump into this. Okay? And so, firstly, the Bible is not very clear or very specific about dating. Right? And so just because it's not in the Bible, oh, it's not in the Bible, so it must be okay. No. The Bible speaks so much about relationships. Relationships. And so, you know, having godly interactions, having these principles that we can take from the Bible and apply into our own life. And so there are ways that it can speak to how we do those relationships. So it may not be dating specifically, but it will help us to be formed in a way that will be more prepared, more better for when we walk into those relationships. Does that make sense? Yes? Okay. In 1 Corinthians 10:31, it says this. So whether you eat, drink, or date, or whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Everything that we do, it should be for the glory of God. And so whether we're in a classroom in our school, or whether we're sitting in a lecture, or whether we're at work, or whether we're at home with our families, are we glorifying God in what we're doing? Is what we're doing in those moments going to glorify God? Secondly, when I use the term dating, okay, I mean that these are the people with the intention of connecting relationally, okay? Is everyone clear? Dating, you want to connect relationally with them. That's okay, okay? But courtship, when I talk about courtship or engagement, everyone familiar with courtship, right? Everyone understand courtship or engagement, right? Our young people, you're good with courtship? It seems like a really old term to use, is it? Yeah? Now, Ray, talk to Ray about that one. But yeah, courtship and, you know, engagement. Okay, so that's about for people that have the intention of being married. Okay, so the end goal for them, when they're courting or engaged, is that they're going to get married. Okay, so thirdly, what I'm suggesting today is more for, like, you know, for us that are following Christ, right? So if we identify as ourselves as, I'm a follower of Jesus. Okay, so as a follower of Jesus, God gives us his word to follow, right? And this is how God speaks about relationships in his word. And so for me, as a follower of Christ, this is how I want to, as best I can, try and walk this out. And I'll tell you, we're going to stuff up at times. We're going to fall at times. We're going to stumble at times. But if it's towards Christ and around people that are going in the same direction, I think it's going to make it better, right? When we're around people that, when we fall, okay, let's get back up, right? Let's get back up, right? Reset. Hey, Ray, reset. You know, let's go again. Okay, let's go again. And so there are some principles that we can glean from God's word to help us navigate through relationships, okay? And so the ABCDs of relationships.
Okay, so the first one is associations. Associations. A is for associations. Okay, so when I talk about associations, it's about the relational equity that you have is seen in the people that you hang around with. The relational equity that you have is seen in the people that you hang around with. You know, if you think of a relational equity as a kind of like a treasure chest, right? And so it's filled with all these valuable jewels, you know? And so these the valuable jewels are likened to like these valuable connections we have. These valuable connections that we have, these valuable experiences that we have, you know, gone through and come across in our life that have been built up over time. Now, the people that we choose to spend the time with are like these gems that are in that treasure chest. They reflect the value of your relational equity. And so every interaction that you have, every friendship that has nurtured and encouraged you adds a little bit more value to your treasure chest. And it's not just about the quantity of connections, but it's about the quality of those connections as well. So think about the people that you spend most of your time with. Are they people that are kind? Are they people that are caring and supportive and loving? Because if they are, then they're adding value to your relational equity. Because as you're around them, you will begin to feel and experience these same values, and you yourself will be able to display these around people that you will come into contact with. You become more loving. You become more kinder. You become more supportive, more loving towards those around you. But that's one side. But then on the other side, you also, if we choose to hang out with those that are negative, if we choose to hang out with people that engage in like harmful behavior or just ripping people down, then that becomes part of our relational equity as well. So that's the negative side of it. In 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 11 and 12, it says, "Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." And so the writer of this letter, Paul, he's encouraging us to take responsibility. Take responsibility for encouraging one another. It's not just on your pastor to do the encouraging. It's not just on your leader, your life group leader, to do the encouraging. There is a responsibility on one another. Who here is a one another? Every single one of us is a one another. So it's on us. It's on each and every one of us. And that's the beauty of being part of God's family. Like when we're going through stuff, and you have a group of people around you, when you're not feeling, you know, you're not feeling it that day, hopefully you have that relationship that someone may think, hey, something's not right with you. And they'll pull you aside and say, hey, is everything okay? Is there something I can, you know, something, you know, I can help you with? Is there something I can talk to? Is there something I can pray with you for? That's the beauty of having spiritual family around us, so that we can walk through this together, encouraging one another and building one another up. And you know, sometimes you might have to encourage someone that you don't really like. That can be hard when God is telling you, encourage this person. Encourage them in this area. Bless them in this area. And you're like, oh no, God. They said this about me. They did this to me, God. But it's like God saying, okay, yes, I saw that. But I'm calling you to love one another. I'm calling you to forgive one another. I'm calling you to walk in this greater love towards them. And I will empower you, God says. I will be with you. In terms of association, Who are you associating with? Who are you associating with, and what sort of equity are they building into your life? What sort of equity are they building into you? Right? Think about the people we hang out with. Young people, look, think about your friends that you hang out with. Right? Are they good for you? Are they encouraging you? You know, are they encouraging you towards Christ? You know? And you may think, oh, but we're at school. Well, Christ is there at school too. You're there. He's with you. So I want to encourage you, you know, think about those people that you hang out with. And even for us, you know, older generators, right? How are we, who are we surrounding ourselves with? Number two, B is for boundaries. Everyone say boundaries.
Boundaries.
Boundaries. Okay, so why do we have boundaries? A boundary gives us limits of how far we can safely go, right? Everyone agree with that? It gives us parameters, right? And so usually with religious boundaries, they're not connected to a why, right? And it can sound like, oh, it just sounds like rules. You know, do this, do that, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. Right? And that's what it can sound like sometimes. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It should be seen as rather as a lifestyle that we want to live out. Right? Not just a bunch of rules that we're trying to, you know, to follow. This is a lifestyle that Christ is calling me to walk out. So how do we see this? What does that look like for us? Healthy boundaries that will lead us towards Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 5:19-22, it says, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, but test everything, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Do not quench the spirit. Do not quench the spirit. To quench something is to extinguish it, right? To put it out. That's what quench means. And so when we quench the fire of the spirit, we can quench the fire, you know, the fire of the Spirit by when we doubt, when we have a lack of concern, when we reject God, or when we're distracted by others. These are sort of things that can snatch the life out of us, like what Maddie did to that girl that Friday night. But it's like, that's when we have crossed over those healthy boundaries, right? So in terms of dating, we don't want to awaken parts of our relationship that are intended for further down the journey, right? So if you're dating, right? Marriage covenant. There's a special gift that God has ordained and created for married couples to experience in their marriage, on their marriage night. There's this beautiful gift that God allows them to experience, to coming from two to one. And that's a beautiful gift that a Christian, that a follower of Jesus can give to his wife or his husband or her husband, right? It's that beautiful gift. Because marriage is God's idea. He wants us to be able to experience it in all its fullness and at the right time. Healthy boundaries are there to protect us, to help us focus and walk in all that God has for us in this season. So in terms of boundaries, what boundaries do you have in your relationships? What boundaries do you have in your relationships? And this is a good question for us that are married as well, right? Because we need to have boundaries as well. Married couples, we think, oh, that's for those, you know, up and coming, those young singles. They need to have boundaries. No, we as married got to have boundaries in place as well. So what are those boundaries? What can they look like? So whether you're single or you're married, what things do you have in place that keeps your relationships safe and honorable. And as a follower of Christ, we need boundaries. We need boundaries in our lives. And it's the Word of God that gives us these principles of building and keeping healthy relationships. Okay, number three, C. C is for Christward. Everyone say Christward.
Christward.
Yes. Our relationship with people should thrust us, should propel us towards a closer relationship with Jesus. Right? Philippians 3:4 tells us, I press on toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There's a strong sense of purpose. There's a strong sense of movement, of direction, right? Intention towards the goal. And the goal is in Christ Jesus, the calling in Christ Jesus. You know, even in our text today, in verse 14, it said this, and we urge you. There's an urgency there. Brothers and sisters, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. And I like what the Message translation reads. It says this, gently encourage the stragglers. Anyone have any stragglers in their life? Yes. Anyone a straggler sometimes? Yes. And reach out for the exhausted, pulling them to their feet. Be patient with each person, attentive to individual needs. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, we get on each other's nerves. Is that true? And the parents are looking at their kids. Stop it. Stop it. Okay? We get on each other's nerves. Don't snap back at each other. Ow. Stop biting. Stop it. Right? Just listen. Listen. Don't snap back at each other. Look for the best in each other. Oh my goodness, who looks for the best in the people around them, especially when all you see is red? All you see, I just want to smash your face. Right? Who sees the best in people? That's hard, right? That's hard. And so, I guess it's getting into the practice of not getting to that point of red. Because when we see red, we don't see anything else. And so, how do we not get to that place where we see the best before that? Not be so easily offended. Stepping back and say, okay, maybe I just need to talk with them. Have a conversation with them to try and figure out why did you say that? Why are you seeing me in that light? Right? And those can be hard conversations to have. But I think they are necessary and helpful in us in building and strengthening our relationships, right? And so in regards to our relationships, here's our question, in regards to Christward, how do our relationships propel us towards Christ? How do our relationships propel us toward Christ. Number four, last one, okay, we're nearly home. Number four, discipleship. D is for discipleship. Okay, I love what Marius shared last week in terms of, the mentors that he has in his life, right? He has these leaders, these people in his life that he speaks to. And I want to hear this, okay? He speaks to them, and they speak to him. Okay? It's a two-way street. So there's going to be stuff that your mentor may call out on you. There's going to be stuff that they may, oh, bro, you know, when you say this, yeah, it's probably not the best thing to say in public. Right? That's what your mentors are there for. To be able to, you know, and it's not about calling you out in public about it. It's when you have those one-on-ones with them, when you have that time alone with them, and if you give them that permission to speak into your life, then be prepared. Prepare your heart, okay? Because there's going to be stuff that'll hurt, right? There's going to be stuff that'll be like, oh, do I really want to hear this from this guy, right? And so who are you walking this discipleship journey through? Because it's still discipleship. Relationship is discipleship. Relationship is discipleship. John 13, 34 to 35. I'm coming back to this because this is such a key passage for us in this one anothering, right? That you love one another just as I have loved you, and also to love one another. We love one another. This is the evidence that we as followers of Jesus Christ, right? This is the evidence. This is what people should see in us, that we're loving people, not just the people we like, or not just the people that we roll with, but we love the people that God brings around us, and we love them. Do we have this great love for one another in our lives? Do we display this great love in our interactions with the people that we love? And the people in our community. Are we in a discipleship relationship with someone that is able to talk to us about things in our character, in our marriages, in our parenting, in all aspects of marriage, in all aspects of relationships? So whether you're single, whether you're married, we all need discipleship. We all need to be around someone who we can talk these things through. Do we have these mentors in our life that disciple us? For you yourself, who do you have in your life that can speak honestly to you? So when we look at these ABCDs, right? We may look at it and think, oh man, that's the list. That's the list that I'm going to look for everybody else. Those people around me. I need these people in my life. And that's good. But what if we started by implementing these in our own lives? What if we became these things in our own life first? Not expecting it from others, but just working these out in our own lives. There's this responsibility on me to become this healthy, relational person that can rely, that can be relied on, that can be trusted, that can be a good and faithful associate. That I am one that has this, that has healthy boundaries in place for the way that I build relationships with others. That I am one that is chasing after Christ, pressing on towards the call of Christ. That I am one that is being discipled by a mentor that has authority to permission to speak into my life, in all areas of my life, the concerns that I may or may not see. There is no greater love than for one to lay down one's life for another. That's Jesus' words. That's Jesus' example. That's what Jesus did for us. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us because he wanted us to be in relationship with him. Jesus gives us this beautiful example of a true relationship, one that is lays down their life for us. Jesus Christ, verse 10, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Christ died so that we might live with him. We might live in him. Amen. The gospel message is all about reestablishing that broken relationship with God through his one and only son, Jesus. That is the beginning. That should be the foundation of our relationships that we build with people. Not just our spiritual family, but the people that God leads us to in our communities, in our workplaces, in our schools. reestablishing that relationship, reconnecting that relationship. And so here's our discussion for today, okay? What boundaries do you have in your relationships? And then question two, how are our relationships propelling us towards Christ? And so we'll have a discussion, have a talk with the person next. You can talk about both these questions, or maybe you just pick one and talk this through. And then we can, after, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, we'll come back and we'll respond in God's word through worship. Okay, let me pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you that we get to see, Lord God, the importance of relationship, Lord God. Thank you that relationship has always been your plan. It's your idea, Lord God. And so, Father, we thank you for how you have spoken to us, how the things that you're showing us in the different seasons of relationships that we're at, Lord God. Whether we're single or whether we're married, Lord God, you have us right in the palm of your hand. And so this morning, Lord God, as we begin to unpack a little bit of this discussion this morning, a little bit of your word this morning, Father, we pray that this will be a safe place. We pray that there will be your work. The Holy Spirit will begin to work in our hearts and our minds this morning, Jesus. May you have your way in us, Father. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, and the relationship that we get to have with him. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.